This episode of A Few Things with Claire and Erica is brought to you by Bed Bath & Beyond. Hit them up at bedbathandbeyond.com or go to one of their many stores.
I'm Greg Blaze, host of Cutting the Curd. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Welcome to A Few Things with Claire and Erica, our podcast, where we talk about all of our favorite things.
Love that. It is based on a newsletter that we have that we send every Monday called 10 Things, filled with 10 of our greatest discoveries. This podcast does not have a number associated with it because we got smart.
That's right. There's just a few things we're going to cover. But we do have a housekeeping note, which is that if you are part of our book club,
yes.
If you are an official member, there's no official membership. I just imagine my mom being like, I didn't know you had to sign up.
Yeah,
no, you don't
clarify.
Have to sign up.
No jokes like that. We don't joke about these things. Yeah.
So if you are an official or unofficial member of our book club, we are discussing The Sleepwalker's Guide to Dancing on March 30th. But I'm going to throw in some suspense here, which just to add some drama.
Tell me.
We're actually recording it next week. And I didn't realize that until yesterday. And this book is long AF.
Long AF.
And I...
You looked at it on your Kindle yesterday,
so
tell me. This was a good joke today.
So I was reading it on my Kindle last night. I was like, I've got it. I really better get started. And you know, there's that little thing in the bottom left-hand corner and you can set it to either... how many pages or hours. And I opened it up and it was like, you have 9 hours and 45 minutes left to read this book. And I have 7 days to find 9 hours to read the book. So y'all find out if I get done.
It's like 3 episodes of shitty TV a day.
Well, that's how I felt. I was like, okay, I'm not going to go out on Friday night. There's like 4-ish hours, right? And then...
That's an aggressive approach, but yeah, I understand what you're getting
but
at.
But where else am I going to find that time?
Yeah.
I have to carve out nine hours.
A lot. I mean, I read and commute a lot.
Yeah.
That helps.
And it's mostly spent walking.
Why don't I... You get off the train... And then you read, and I'll text you when I get home, and then you can stop.
That's a good idea. Well, the other thing I was like, maybe I'm going to have to not come into the office one day and just be like, sorry, guys, I need to stay home and read.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to do that. That crossed my mind of just being like, dear everyone, I will be working from home today. And by working, I mean finishing my
reading
book club
400 pages. Yes.
So, that's just, you know, a little suspense in the air.
Okay, so today we have a couple things happening.
Yeah.
The first one is basically AMA anything about owning a rabbit.
AMA
about owning a rabbit. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. AMARE rabbit ownership.
Rabbit ownership.
Erica has a pet bunny. She has had one for a different one at times. I wasn't supposed to bring this up.
Well, we're not going to make this a sad episode, Claire.
I just stepped right in it.
Right in it. Well, basically, sometimes bunnies die, and we're not going to talk about that
on the show.
We're only going to talk about happy living bunnies and how to keep them happy and living.
And Erica is a long-time bunny owner.
Advocate
and owner.
Yes.
I guess if you can own another living being, which I don't... take risks.
Housekeeper,
on.
Too. Yeah.
So Erica gets a lot of questions about bunny ownership. So I think I know the answer to most of them, although I'm sure I'll realize I don't. And I'm going to interview
her. It's going to be like
it.
The beauty routine episode where we all know things about each other, but we don't.
Exactly.
There's some... how we put on face oil.
Exactly. I do know some good tidbits, which I'm excited to reveal as part of this interview.
Wonderful.
Then we're going to talk about donkeys and elephants.
I.e. the 2016 presidential election.
That's right.
It's an animal episode.
We just want you to be politically informed. And so we're going to do our best. We also want to be politically informed ourselves. So we have a very special guest who reports on all this stuff. So
she's better to give you the tips than us.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Let's jump right into bunny ownership.
Yeah.
All right.
First of all, let me just.
Okay.
I think it's fair to start by saying the bunny's name.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you must.
Her name is Ash, short for Ash Wednesday Adams.
Yes.
Which is like one of those Wheel of Fortune answers. Totally. I don't know what they're called, but you know what I mean?
Where I do know. I don't know what they're called, but I do know
they have the middle word in common.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's one of those. I know exactly what that is.
Yeah.
But is Ash short for Ashley?
No.
Okay. It's just Ash.
Short for Ash.
She's a black bunny. And one thing, did you know before you got a black bunny how hard it would be to photograph her?
I absolutely did not, Claire. But luckily,
because you never would have, right? You would have been like, I need
Well, you know, I think she's so pretty. Okay. Here's one of the appeals of having a black pet in general, which people who own black pets, I'm sure, are nodding about. Their fur doesn't show up on your clothes as much. Whereas if you have like a light colored pet.
See, little known fact. I didn't know that. See? That's a good fact.
So if you have a light colored pet and you wear a lot of black, you have that like animal all over you all the time.
Well,
you start to look like a crazy bunny lady.
But they don't make good Instagram pets because they are hard to photograph. But we will link to this on the recap.
Yes.
There's a great, I think it was
Wall Street Journal.
No,
I think
it was
Washington Post or Wall Street Journal. It was definitely like a business newspaper.
Well, they wrote a guide to how to photograph your black furry pet.
That's right.
And it was not racist at all.
No.
And no. So Ash Wednesday Adams is a black bunny.
I don't know what kind she is. Mm-hmm. Because we got her from a shelter, but she's like some sort of mini lop or Holland lop or some combination thereof. So she has floppy ears, basically, is what people are going to want to know. And she's pretty small. She's like 3 pounds.
Mythbuster.
Yeah.
Fact or fiction.
Yeah.
Bunnies love carrots.
Okay. This is tricky. Bunnies do really like carrots.
Yeah.
But they're not supposed to be part of their primary diet because they have a lot of sugar in them.
That's why Bugs Bunny's so hyper.
Totally. So bunnies, they eat a lot of vegetables. This is all true, but mostly leafy greens like parsley and dill and basil. Ash doesn't like arugula that much. She turns her nose
Neither do I.
Interesting. Yeah, that's true. That's another thing you two have in common. They're also not supposed to have a ton of fiber, so they can have like some kale, some broccoli, but not too much. And then you have to be conscious of the sugar intake because carrots are high in it, and they love fruit. They don't eat beets in general. They don't eat any root vegetables, I don't think.
You sound like such a Brooklyn bunny mom right
There's
now.
Like a like, laundry list of things that I have to keep in my brain being like, can she eat this? Can she eat that? She loves grapes. If you're eating grapes or apples and she gets a sense that that's happening, she'll be like all over you trying to get them.
Because she can smell it or just...
Because she can smell it.
Okay. Is there such a thing as bunny food like there is for hamster food?
Yes. And it's probably very similar. It's compressed hay.
Okay. Can you actually get nutrients from that?
Yeah, well, hay is like the biggest part of her diet. She eats Timothy hay.
What is Timothy hay?
I don't. It
sounds like someone's name. Sounds like a presidential candidate. Yeah.
It's some sort of grass. My brother bought her hay for Christmas, and it is.
I don't even know whether she should like be offended by that or.
Well, she loves it. She's thrilled by it. But he bought it from this company called Small Pet Select.
It's like getting coal in your stocking. Hay.
No. It is like, for her, it's like getting buffalo wings in her stocking, Claire. That's like the new equivalent of that. She's super excited about it. But the problem is, it's from a site called Small Pet Select. And it's like very...
That sounds very high-end and elite.
It's super chic. It's definitely like straight from the farm, whatever.
Oh my God.
It's definitely like a 6-month supply. And it's sitting in the entryway of our apartment because there's nowhere to...
So you were pissed at him about this gift.
I was... graciously pissed.
Okay.
Yeah. I was like, that was so nice to do, but now I can't move. There's nothing I can do with this. It's just a big box of hay.
Well, so this begs the question of how much room bunnies take up, right?
Yes, that is a good question.
Okay, so how much room does Ash take up? Where does she live?
So Ash lives in a pen. So Ash's whole setup.
I like
this
how you call it a pen. I would call it a cage.
It is not a cage, though. She used to, okay. So this is the evolution of bunny. This
home.
Is the bunny ownership evolution. Okay. You probably picture bunnies living in a cage. Mm-hmm. So it's like not modern to put a bunny in a cage.
You are such a Brooklyn bunny mom.
Yeah.
Can you start
modern.
A Facebook group for this and then have a lot of drama
like
and when people start infighting, shut it down?
I feel like there's probably already
oh
a lot
God,
of
please.
This happening. So. Because it's bad for their feet, because they don't have pads on their feet. They just have soft, furry little feet and they slip through the grates and it's just it's bad for them. So bunnies of Instagram, which we'll get to at some point for sure, because that's an important component of this. have taught me that you don't put bunnies in a cage, put them in a pen. So we just have like a dog pen, like what you put like a puppy
and
in.
Is the only difference between a pen and a cage that a
floor and a lit top, so it only
that's,
has sides.
So okay, I did know that that's what she lived in. I just thought that was a cage.
It's a pen.
Okay.
And the floor of her pen is one of those thin towel like bath mats, so that's about the size of her pen,
like from Bed Bath & Beyond?
For example.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
For example.
Okay.
Like the really thin ones that would slide under any door. That's her setup.
That's actually just a towel.
It's a towel. Okay. Yeah. It's basically a towel. Like the hotel bath
mats.
Does
she pee on it?
No. Because she's litter box trained.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah. So bunnies can be litter box trained. Some are better at than others. Mm-hmm. As you know, bunnies have they have very different personalities.
Yeah. I've learned that.
You've learned this.
From you.
You can litter box train them. Some are better than others. She's very good.
Mm-hmm.
You can pretty much get all bunnies to pee in their litter box.
How do you do that?
They like to go in the bathroom in the same place. So you have to just keep it clean. You have to change their litter box.
But do
ideally,
you like reward them? Do you give them a...
When they pee somewhere else, you put them in the litter box to like show them that that's where they're supposed to go.
So you have to catch them peeing?
Yeah, which isn't... Or like, yeah, but isn't that... hard.
I just got so stressed out about that part of things. That's it. I'm out.
It's actually way easier to train a bunny to use a litter box than you would imagine, because they don't like making messes all over the place. They like having their like things in their spaces.
Could you put a diaper on a bunny before it's trained?
Best of luck to you.
Okay.
You could surely try.
I went to Japan for my honeymoon and visited a bunny cafe once, and they had bunny clothes there. So I got Erica's bunny at the time a kimono.
And she looked great in it.
I feel like having witnessed that, I could also imagine a bunny
diaper.
Wearing a diaper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ash hasn't really taken to like wearing clothing or hats or right, we've okay. tried. We've gone down that road.
Right.
So her litter box is just a, like men's boot bin, like storage bin,
mm-hmm.
like the clear plastic one without the lid.
I think
I've got the thing that I learned is that why am I buying specific bunny products?
Right.
They're all so ugly.
Mm-hmm.
And this cage or this pen is such a big part of my small apartment
mm-hmm.
that it's never going to be beautiful, but mm-hmm. at least it can just sort of like blend in.
Right.
So she just has a gray bath mat, this clear plastic bin. She uses like a
what
little...
What color is the pen? Black, right?
Black.
Okay.
She has a little ramekin that she gets her food in. Like
right,
a creme brulee ramekin.
Yeah,
That's what it is.
Yeah.
And she just has a little glass water bowl.
Nice.
She doesn't have any toys. She doesn't like toys. It's not worth buying them for her because she doesn't care about them.
Have you had other pet bunnies that like toys?
No, none of them really have.
None of them do?
No.
So is she cool staying in her pen for a long time?
Yes, but her pen is like big for her, and she also likes to own the space, and she likes that it's like her.
She's
thing.
Territorial. Have you ever taken her outside?
She goes out on her balcony sometimes.
Okay.
She doesn't
on a
really
leash?
Go outside. No, just like by herself. I need to be better about taking her outside, but I'm scared of dogs.
That's fair.
And
just all the germs and stuff that she could get. I don't know.
Yeah. So her litter in her litter box. There's newspaper, and then there's the mm-hmm. litter brand is called Yesterday's News, which is
old newspaper. Love that.
Yeah. Yesterday's News.
Love that.
It's pretty good.
Where is that company based?
Good question. But I also found to store her mm-hmm. litter in this bin that is like a Japanese bin used mm-hmm. for storing rice.
Ooh,
that is like very
chic.
Good for litter. And I imagine dog food and any other kind of like nonsense people
Wait,
have.
What's the difference between that and the plastic bin with her? What's in the plastic men's boot bin?
That's her litter box. That's where she goes to the bathroom.
Oh, the hay is in the Japanese thing.
No, the like back, all the actual, instead of having
oh,
a
it's
bag
like
storage. Of litter.
Storage. Oh, okay. Got it.
Storage.
Okay. I have some practical questions.
Yes.
Are bunnies good pets for kids?
Bunnies are good pets for kids of a certain age, but not little kids because they're very fragile and they're very like sensitive. And
oh, right.
Kids.
Our friend Chelsea killed her bunny when she was Black Beauty.
Chelsea's going to listen and be really upset. She's going to be crying on
love
a run.
Love you,
when
Chelsea.
She and love Black Beauty.
R.I.P. Black Beauty.
Yeah. Yeah, so they're good pets for like kids who can handle animals, not little ones. And don't go buy a pet on Easter. Like that's no.
Wait, just because that's tacky?
That's what people do that. And then pets for their kids for Easter.
Yeah.
And then like 2 months later, they all end up at the animal shelter.
Oh,
so
they don't.
because they don't take care of them, know how to. Okay. So if you want a bunny, you should wait until like 2 months after Easter and show up at an animal shelter and adopt.
People have abandoned at Easter time.
So we adopted our bunny from Animal Control Centers of New York, ACC. And not to brag or anything, but that's where Amy Sedaris' bunny is from, too.
Oh, my God. Do you think yours
that bunny's
could
name
be
is Tina? Probably not.
Okay.
But Amy Sedaris is like a huge bunny advocate and fan.
Typically, how long do bunnies live for? Like, what are you signing up for?
8 to 10 years is like the potential like lifespan. So, and they push that really hard because they don't want people to think this is like a 2 year pet.
Right. How do bunnies make noise?
I've never really had a bunny that made noise except for Ash.
Yeah.
And she makes kind of like guinea pig noises. Oh, Thomas didn't want me to talk about this. He thinks it's weird, but she makes like. Noises. Okay, when she's really excited and when she really wants her breakfast, which
I
is her favorite meal of the day.
I hope somebody contacts you to be the bunny in like a cartoon to just voice the bunny in Disney's
I hope so
movie.
Too.
Another question about that. Can you just let your bunny loose in your apartment?
Yes, you can. And people do that. Certain bunnies I follow on Instagram do that. But you have to be careful about cords. That's one of the biggest things.
You also lost a purse to a bunny once.
They like to chew on leather, weirdly.
Okay. I get that.
They like to chew on leather. And cords, if they're like in their way, if they feel like they might be like branches in the woods, a bunny will chew on them. So many a laptop cord has gone to a rabbit.
And those things are not cheap. If you have a big house with multiple floors, can you still let it run loose?
When I was growing up, our bunny was allowed to run loose in our house, and he would come up, Rascal, and he would come upstairs with my mom and say goodnight to us.
Oh my God, that's really cute.
It's really sweet.
I feel like I know that there are so many other questions because I've monitored our customer service inbox, and I feel like I'm doing a disservice.
No, I think this is perfect.
We have to talk about bunnies of Instagram, though.
We need to do a quick bunnies of Instagram.
Erica is an expert on bunny Instagram accounts, and she's going to share some of her favorites with you.
So if you are maybe not ready to own a bunny, but maybe just want to see pictures of a bunny,
follow this Erica Cerullo for one.
There aren't that many pictures of Ash.
Right, as we've discussed.
But one of my best friends has a bunny, and his name is Roger, and he has his own Instagram. His Instagram is Roger Rabbit IRL.
Any punctuation in there?
None for him.
Roger Rabbit IRL is a pretty good...
It's a pretty good one. Yeah. He's a good-looking rabbit, for sure.
I love Roger.
He lives in Minneapolis. Okay. The best bunny Instagram, for sure, hands down, is Bunny Mama.
That's interesting that you feel that way, because I actually disagree.
What are you consuming that you get to have a preference?
Wally and Molly.
I guess Wally and Molly, but there's a dog involved. I don't like... Yeah, but I only like the ones without dogs.
Bunny Mama, you have to be really committed because there's so much drama and so many bunnies. And it's like, it's honestly like watching a soap opera and having to keep track of all of the different characters.
It's a bit of a Korean soap opera.
Who's on the in, who's on the out. Erica will like give me updates.
So there are three bunnies. There used to be two different bunnies. There is kind of a lot
happening. There have been five in total. It's really hard to follow.
Yeah, so there's now Olive and Marbles and Taffy. You
the
like Eddie, he's
hair.
Died. He died.
See? I didn't even know.
Again, back to just walking right into the dead bunny trap. You've talked about dead bunnies thrice on this episode.
Well, do we need to like tell, what do you do when a bunny dies? You just bury it?
Yeah, you take it to the vet. And they deal with it.
We had a bunny funeral the first time this happened. We set Shiva for Ernie.
We did. Poor Ernie. Poor baby Ernie.
We had to say goodbye to.
Okay, just a couple more unsaid notes to end this on. Cleo the bunny, who is owned by the people behind Jewels of New York, cool catering company.
Love that.
And he's a good looking rabbit.
We have to talk about cool caterers on one episode.
We do.
Yeah.
He was on the cover of Cherry Bomb once. Do you remember that?
Oh, I do. Who's the bunny that lives in that boutique on Elizabeth Street? Merlin. He's really good.
Yeah, he's an Angora. He's a crazy looking rabbit.
Does he have an Instagram account?
No, he does not.
Okay.
And then Example the bunny. I think he's Swedish.
I haven't even heard of him.
There's nice photography on that site.
Okay.
And then one of my new favorites is called Dear Bunny Toby. And he just, I think you'd like him because he also has kind of crazy
about
hair.
I'm getting attached to all these bunnies because then
it's I get upset when things happen to them, and we're not going to say what kind of things.
But when those things happened, the internet was up, and it was like weird how many people were upset about it. You were like, had basically an online support group about when
those
there
was like
died.
A lot of Twitter happening about Eddie and Rambo and
RIP.
All right, let's take a break and turn it over to less sad topics.
Yeah.
know and where you've been. What the fuck have I got myself in? I wish I could just disappear. Forcing me to have life's been so great. From people that hate.
So we've been shopping at Bed Bath & Beyond for a gazillion years, just like everybody else out there, at least as recently as college, which is when I can remember, because I remember running into my crush and his mom in the parking lot of Bed Bath & Beyond while we were both shopping for college things. But I think I've been shopping there even before then. It's good stuff.
It's a classic.
Classic. It is a classic.
But now that Of A Kind is part of the Bed Bath & Beyond family, Bed Bath & Beyonce, as we are trying to rebrand it.
Why not, though? It's a good one. I feel like Beyonce would be fine with it.
Totally.
She wouldn't ask for money at all.
Mm-mm. We've gotten to spend a lot more time exploring all of the crazy impressive products that the store carries, and we've honed in some of the greatest hit, the sort of timeless, classic, pretty stuff that we want filling our cabinets and our closets.
If you're not heading there for Japanese knives, for the Le Creuset Dutch ovens, for the Miele vacuums, for the Freta bedding, what are you doing?
What are you
doing? Get over there. They have all that stuff.
Yes. Get your butt to a store stat.
And sign up for their newsletter stat, because guess what? You get a 20% off coupon for a single item. Boom.
Hi.
Oh, we're back.
We're back. You're listening to A Few Things with Claire and Erica. We were talking about bunnies, but now we're talking about donkeys and elephants.
True story.
True story.
We have Maddie Kahn.
Maddie Kahn.
The thing that Maddie Kahn's tagline is, we're all going to work for her one day.
Yeah.
Thanks,
Maddie. Maddie, we're all going to work for her someday, Kahn. It's a little long, but
rolls right off the tongue. I mean, it's a slogan waiting to happen.
It is. Maddie has been writing for Of A Kind and various other impressive publications since she was an undergrad, which was yesterday.
Shh. We don't talk about it.
Yeah. For you, but you've been writing for, so I was trying to think, like for 3 years, maybe?
I think so.
Which is, crazy. And Maddie is L.com's first election correspondent. You tell me. I don't know. I'm mucking this up.
No, you're doing so well.
Thanks,
going.
Maddie. This is why we're going to work for her. See how much a nice manager she is?
I know. I'm really good at giving positive feedback. That's what I've been told.
Great.
Anyway, I'm the news writer at L.com, which means I cover all manner of election things, and I can answer all of your questions about superdelegates.
Yes!
I'm
so
here for
excited
you.
About that.
I know. It's going to be great.
So since it's like Fat Wednesday, or like what's the term for the day after Super Tuesday?
I don't know. Maybe it's like Hangover Wednesday.
Yeah. Hangover Wednesday.
We're all recovering.
Super Tuesday?
Super Tuesday was yesterday, guys, okay. And it was the superest. Basically, it's just a ton of primaries on one day after they've sort of been trickling in since Iowa in the beginning of February.
It's kind of insane how long the primary period is. Like, New York doesn't even vote until mid-April.
But you know what's crazy, which I read today and didn't know until today? John Kerry in 2004 wrapped up the entire game by March 2nd.
Really?
Wow. He was done. We were like,
so we already knew.
We were like, we're set with this guy, whether we like it or not.
Had everybody dropped out at that point?
People were like, sayonara, you do you. That's not going to happen this year, guys. First of all, it's already March 2nd.
Yeah. We've already hit that deadline.
But
it could happen. What you're saying, though, is that at least one of the parties could possibly have their delegate chosen before New York even votes.
It could happen, but this year it seems
unlikely.
Yeah, we're in a contentious race, guys. It's fun.
Okay, I just misused the word delegate, actually. I meant candidate. Can you actually explain what's a delegate? What's a superdelegate? Can you? Because I don't understand.
Hash this out.
Yeah.
I know. It's a nightmare. First of all, let me just put in a plug for Vox.com. Amazing explainers on all of these topics on the web. Sometimes cute graphics where things move across the screen. I'm a big fan. But anyway, to delegates. Basically, there are 538 delegates, which is how I like to think Nate Silver came up with 538.
Yep.
It all makes sense now.
Yes.
Unreal.
And now people remember it.
How do you get to be a delegate?
So there's like, it's weird. This is how I will characterize the entire thing. It's weird.
Okay.
Delegates, primary process not outlined in the Constitution, so it's kind of a free-for-all.
Yeah.
Basically, you get to be one if you're either really affiliated with the party, or sometimes you're nominated at the state conventions. There's all sorts of ways of becoming one, but basically they're proportionally awarded to the state. So when they're talking about racking up the delegates, if you're in a really populated state, more delegates in that state. And if you're in Montana, there are fewer. But that's how you get them. Okay. And then, yes, they represent their states, and they reflect the way the vote went in that state, in that party.
So does a delegate have any actual agency, or it's just like, here's how people voted and therefore I represent?
That's kind of the tricky part.
Yeah. In some states, there are laws that say the delegate has to vote according to the popular vote of the state. I think in something like 25, there aren't.
Okay.
But it's like, that's not kosher. It's like not done. The people who are free to vote for whomever they want are the superdelegates, which only the Democratic Party has.
Yeah. Crazy. Wait, so explain a superdelegate.
Basically, way back in the day, the Democratic Party was like, you guys, we totally love the will of the people, but we also want some, like, insiders to be like, but what should we really do? So they made delegates, and then they made a thing that I feel like the internet invented, except it happened before the internet, a superdelegate, which is basically just a person who the party was like, you really know what you're talking about. We're going to let you, like, pull some strings. So superdelegates can vote for whomever they want, independent of who the people in their state voted for. Now everyone's talking about the superdelegates and Hillary because a bunch of them have already made clear their intentions to vote for her at the convention. So when people are tallying the votes and you're like, whoa, when did you get all those delegates? Sometimes in that tally, they've got the superdelegates in there,
it's
too.
It's like the pre-committal from the superdelegates.
Yeah. And they've been like, I sign off on you.
Knowing this, it feels really shocking that superdelegates haven't figured more prominently into scandal plot lines. That's it just seems like a huge miss. I love you, Shonda. Yeah. That is not meant as a criticism. I'm just surprised.
It's a humble suggestion, right? Shonda.
Just seems like there's a lot that could happen there,
so
right?
So much.
When I was at Details in 2008, we did a story about the youngest superdelegate, and he was in college.
What?
So that speaks to, like, how
been
much.
Me.
Yeah, there you go.
Should have been Maddie.
So that speaks to how much you have to, like, be plugged into. I mean, granted, he was an exception, but, you know.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So,
okay.
Our future's in their hands,
yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Why is Iowa so important?
Just the first one, fresh okay. out the gate,
it's
you know?
It's just that it's the first one, so it sort of sets the...
It's like the season premiere
okay.
of the primaries.
Totally.
It's like, sometimes it doesn't always go so well,
it's
and you're
pilot.
Like, this was better last time. But sometimes you're like, ooh, this is laying the groundwork for something good. I'm going to keep watching.
Interesting, interesting.
Why do I feel like there have been more debates this season? Have there been, or has it just been the coverage has been so crazy, or are there more candidates in the mix that are for longer, that we're just going harder?
So when Obama and Hillary were battling it out, there were tons of debates,
yeah.
actually, and there was this huge criticism that there were too many debates.
Yeah.
This time around on the Democratic side, there was this huge criticism that there were too few debates.
Interesting.
This year, there were quite few compared to the Republicans. But I just think, you know, we're probably all used to there being fewer people in the mix by now. And there's so many.
Well, and was the conspiracy theory around why there were so few Democratic debates had something to do with the woman who runs the DNC and how
Debbie
she's
Wasserman
Schultz. And is gunning for Hillary and didn't want to give Bernie a chance,
basically. Yeah. Okay. So that seems to be, that's what people think. And there's also, let's be real, some suspicious placement of the debates on holiday weekends, Saturday nights, you know, the time
like burying them.
Everyone really wants to sit around and listen to two people yell at each other.
I will say, I remember in one of the earlier debates, Ebro in the Morning, who figures heavily into this podcast.
More heavily than he knows.
Ebro.
He might know by now, you guys.
Let's hold ourselves to a higher standard.
Shonda and Ebro are both listening.
I really respect it. Ebro loves to preach and moralize, but he was right on this point. He was like, y'all love to hate on the Republicans and watch the Republican debates and tweet about them and this and that, but there's a Democratic debate and none of you are going to watch it tonight. And if you like really put your money where your mouth is and actually watch it and tweet about it and talk about it, because he's like, it's all, you know, you have like the circus is there because we make the circus, basically.
Yeah. Yes. With some excellent material, but true. It is very hard to make a meme out of a Democratic debate. I've been there. I know you guys.
You've tried.
I've tried.
Yeah.
Here's something that has emerged this election season, or at least for me. Isidewith.com. How do you feel about that?
What the...
You don't know what this thing is?
Oh, where it tells you who to vote for.
So you take a survey, a really long and involved survey that's all around policy and positions, and it tells you at the end what candidate you should vote for, who's like most in line with your views. Mm-hmm. And it's everything from, you know, economic policy to like, should we fund space travel to abortion rights?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I think in another election, maybe that would be kind of more useful.
Totally. When yeah, you... I thought it existed for the last election, but maybe it was just a BuzzFeed quiz at that point.
Listen, which is more accurate? We don't know. No, hard I could to say. BuzzFeed's yeah. really killing the game these days. I think what's interesting is you see this a lot of times at the exit polls now, that there's this like gap between the things or the issues that are important to people and the candidates that they mm-hmm. want to vote mm-hmm. for. So a huge number of the people who are voting for Donald Trump, for example, I can't believe this is the first time we've said his name.
Yeah.
Okay. But anyway, Donald Trump, a huge number of those people don't necessarily say believe that he believes what he says, or they don't necessarily agree with all the policies that mm-hmm. he's expressed, but they believe he stands for change, and that's the thing they want the most. And so you saw that all over the map on Super Tuesday, that people were saying when they left the polling station, I voted for Donald Trump. I don't know if he buys everything that he says, but I believe he's going to make a difference in the country, and that's what I want. So I feel like
they want
I side with this year. It could just come down to one question. Do you want to
Are you
continue
happy with how America is right now?
These yeah. policies that mm-hmm. we've had for the past 8 years? If so, your way forward is pretty clear. Or do you want to burn this whole system?
And, right.
And that's your answer. Yeah.
Right. Interesting.
That is super interesting. And I think a really good point. I think a lot of people probably are just, yeah, unhappy. And on both sides are just like,
for
I
sure.
don't like how it's been and I want to see something different.
And which is what's given us Bernie and Donald.
Exactly.
Both.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Coming out of, for sure, I think the same frustrations.
Mm-hmm. Super interesting.
Yeah, that's very interesting. At what point in the mix are we going to start hearing about vice presidential candidates, and who are we going to start
Great
hearing
question.
About?
Great question.
Ooh, we've already been hearing about them.
Well, a little bit, but like...
There was this weird blip over the summer where people were like, so we really don't know what's going to happen in this election, so let's just start throwing out some VP names. Then like the actual election heated up and people were like, okay,
this might be interesting.
Maybe like, let's like take focus away from there. But yeah, there are some names people are throwing out. On the Democratic side, you see like a Julian Castro, who's the okay. Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. He's really young. I think he's 41 now, in his early 40s. That's the kind of person that people are throwing around for Hillary to pick, because they feel like if she becomes the candidate, she's going to need
some young, spunky character.
Some young, spunky male character.
Yeah. Okay.
We are not ready for a two-lady ticket, my friends.
Yeah. Sorry.
Not everyone can run out of a kind, okay? So we're not going down that road. If it were Bernie, say, and his way to the nomination is mm-hmm. becoming a little bit thornier, but let's say he pulled it off, you could imagine his picking Elizabeth Warren. She's
totally.
Always a popular
but
choice.
But wasn't the sort of argument there that it would be so far left and so sort of radical in a sense that
he'd need to course correct
need to,
a little and
exactly.
pick someone a little more
yeah,
so.
Yeah, so then the other name that gets thrown around in that mix is also Kirsten Gillibrand.
Oh, yeah.
Who's a New York senator.
Yeah.
But there's so many politics at play in the mm-hmm. VP, in the Veep stakes game. Like, where do you come from?
Right.
What languages do you speak? Are you from a swing state? Can
right.
you maybe get
Can
a
you
swing
pull that state?
And yeah. I read that technically the VP candidate and the presidential candidate cannot be from the same state.
Yeah, and there's also, I mean, functionally, do you even want them to be from states that are side by side?
Right.
In the beginning, over the summer, there was like some chatter about maybe Cory Booker from New Jersey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But if Hillary, who's essentially running from New
right.
York, runs with Cory Booker from New Jersey, it's like,
is it just this, like,
you're
East
not
Coast
just
ticket.
President
yeah,
of the
yeah, yeah.
tri-state area. Although, you guys, could be good.
Yeah, could be great. What's the deal with Mayor Mike Bloomberg? Is he going to get up in this mix? Forever. You know, he's just forever my mayor.
I know,
so
for sure.
Always
my dad still talks about him like he's running the show.
Yeah.
He's like,
I know, the mayor.
Write a
the
letter of complaint.
Yeah.
I'm always like, different office now, Dad, not the same. But anyway, if you're listening, Dad, hello. Yeah, so Mayor Bloomberg, it seems like he's a practical guy. He's a businessman.
Mm-hmm.
He's only going to get in if he thinks he's not just burning his money.
Right.
Which people are seem to think would mean, if we're looking at a Sanders versus Trump mm-hmm. on the national stage,
right?
Bloomberg
he's
is going to be
middle
like,
ground. Yeah,
I'm pushing through, guys.
Yeah,
would he potentially? Could he be a vice presidential nominee?
Yeah, his name is turned up a little bit, I think, but it's like, even for someone as with an outsized personality who's been mm-hmm. a mayor of a major American city, it's pretty unconventional to pick a mayor to be your VP, because
and he's also from New York.
He doesn't have the national
right and
experience.
Their name recognition yeah. I mean, it's like a person like Trump would never choose him for many reasons, right. but also because he wouldn't want to run with another businessman and mm-hmm. is
and another big personality.
Yeah, and would Hillary choose somebody who was involved in Wall Street at all at this point?
Right, right.
Definitely not. Yeah. She is mm-hmm. staying far away. In fact, that's part of the reason why someone like Deval Patrick, former mm-hmm. governor of Massachusetts, who's super popular. People are saying, you know, she wouldn't be able to choose him because he went to work at Bain, and just going to work at a consulting firm is like,
it's too much.
Wow. Too much for Hillary now. Yeah. So, I mean, it's just like,
who are the VP who? Names on the Republican side?
Well, if Trump isn't the nominee, you'll definitely hear Nikki Haley come up mm-hmm. a ton. I mean, there's a governor, a woman, a minority who got a lot of street cred over the summer or in the fall for being like, right. we're not going to fly the Confederate flag anymore. That's huge.
And you're saying Trump would not choose her?
They're in a bit of a Twitter war right now.
I saw a tweet from her to him, and I couldn't tell if it was sarcastic or not. Because she said, bless you, Trump. And I was like, oh, she's into him.
She said, the greatest Southern phrase that I wish I could use with confidence, bless your heart.
Oh, that's what it was. Right.
You guys, bless your hearts having a moment.
Interesting.
It also came up in the Jennifer Garner Vanity Fair cover.
Oh.
Which... separate from politics, if you need a break from politics,
I heard it's
highly
good.
Recommend you.
I read like the highlights.
I really
like
Jennifer Garner. Couldn't tell you why, but yeah. I really like her.
I mean, first of all, her Garnier Fructis ads,
great,
so convincing,
yes.
and Neutrogena. I think mm-hmm.
she's
selling me
on.
All of my drugstore products.
Yes, she's
totally
got a lot of commercial
her.
Deals. She also has one with like a credit card, airline credit card.
Is it Simple or is it Capital One? I don't know.
I think it's Capital One.
See, the ads are working.
Yeah.
She wants to know what's in your wallet.
Rattle off every ad that Jennifer Garner is in, and felt really proud of ourselves.
Oh my god, corporate America, you are the problem.
If they somehow didn't get enough Maddie Kahn here and aren't getting enough of her on Elle.com, where else can they, one, read you, and where else can...
And by they, you mean the electorate.
The electorate.
Yeah.
Where else can the electorate read you, and where else can they get political coverage that you are not writing?
Okay, so for politics, I keep it on Elle, keep it in mm-hmm. the fam. You know, you can always read my musings on other things mm-hmm. on Of A Kind or Lenny Letter, Man Repeller, Into the Gloss, some other fabulous
so
websites.
So the place people are already going.
Perfect. Yeah, wherever you're going, find me there. You know, just take me into the search box and hope for the best. But I like to tell people to read other lady writers. There's plenty of great political correspondents at The Times, at The Atlantic, at Vox. Some people I really like. I always, always think Maggie Haberman pulls it off at The Times. She gets these background contact quotes that you're just like, wow, that's why it's the paper of record.
Yeah.
Highly recommend a story she wrote about what's going on behind the scenes in the Republican Party right now. It's like
the one that just went up today about the anti-Trump.
A few days, I think it was like 2 days ago, but she had Mitch McConnell saying, quote, if Trump becomes the nominee, we'll drop him like a hot potato.
Wow.
So you're going to want to read that.
A lot of good sayings. Bless your heart. Drop like a hot potatoes.
Yep. Good stuff.
Washington is like 15 years behind the rest of the world, and it's amazing. It's like when a song comes on, it's like 10 years old. You're like, this is amazing. This throwback. It's like,
that's where they are.
The government is sort of like that. Sorry, guys. Yeah. So I recommend her. Also, Aaron Sorkin, get at that article because it's waiting for you. I love her. I love the team at BuzzFeed actually is really great. So Catherine Miller, Ruby Kramer, they're both really good. I love Amy Chozick's coverage of Hillary at The Times. I feel like you don't want somebody who's rooting for somebody too much, but you want somebody who you feel like is fair. And she always, always strikes that balance. And then I'm a huge fan of Amy Davidson at The New Yorker. Mm-hmm. She writes about all kinds of things, but it's like, you know, when you hear The New Yorker and you get scared that you're going to have to read for 9 hours on your Kindle.
Yeah.
Yes. Her daily comment, not like that. It's like 5 minutes, and I swear to God, you're going to feel smarter at dinner if you've read it. So hit
Maddie,
it up.
Maddie, this is wonderful. Thank you so much for coming
on.
Yeah,
this was great. You're so welcome. Vote smart, guys. We need you.
You've been listening to A Few Things with Claire and Erica. We are here every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Heritage Radio Network.
Please sign up for our newsletter at ofakind.com. It's the best newsletter around. Buy all the things at ofakind.com. They're the best things around. And leave us the best reviews on iTunes.
Do it.
Endorse.
Thank you.
That's the show.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.